Okay, here we go. So, Vasod Hashem, Pasuk Aleph, Malachi, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Part 2. This is on page 862. Page 862, the Pasuk says, Vasod Hashem, El Yisrael, Biad Malachi. Yesterday we did the Mitzudas, we did the Rashi. Incredible Rashi, really a knockout Rashi, like none other. Good morning, Michal. How is your great granddaughter?
As far as I know.
Okay, they named the baby
did
yet?
Did you ever figure out how you found out?
Yes, I did figure out. I'll tell you later. Okay, Pasuk Aleph. We did yesterday the Mitzudos, the Rashi, and we did the first half of the Radak. So now we're going to proceed to part two of the Radak. And this is on page 863. Uperush El Yisrael. What does it mean over here? The Malachi spoke Biad Devar Hashem El Yisrael. What do these words mean? Lehoi Chicham Al Maasehem. El Yisrael means that he's giving them Musar. He's giving them Musar. Ki Ador Hoyle Mi Bavel Hoyu Hoyu Ruba Machzikim Be Maasim Sheinim Toivim. The door that came out from Bavel, many of them Ruba Machzikim Be Maasim Sheinim Toivim. were involved in activities that were not proper. Shehei Hoyu. They were married to non-Jewish women, as Ezra, gave them Musa. We'll talk about this in more detail soon. As Ezra gave them Musa, later on, we're going to see, he's going to describe this, people that had relations with, people were husbands. Uval means two things. It means an act of Ishus, and it means a husband to a woman who is not Jewish. And here he says another very important point, that there was also a problem with Chil Shabbos. The Jews were not Shomrei Shabbos. Uvidvarim Achidim Kamosha Kasa B'Sefer Ezra. The Jews who came up from Babel in a very short period of time, over 70 years, they were in Golis, they really slid. They really backslided. And many of them were Mechalei Shabbos, they were married, it was intermarriage, and other things. It sounds like it's talking about America. Next, that's it. Okay, let's give you the Malbim. Malbim plus the Malbim. The Malbim is a short Malbim on the bottom of the page, on page 863. Masa Chazal Nechleku Mihoya Hanavi Hazeh. Who exactly is this person? Who is this person? Who is Malachi? Was that his real name? Was that Malachi just a, was that like a, what's it called, Rachel? When it's not your real name, it's a
pseudonym.
A pseudonym?
Well, there are birth names and there are descriptive names.
You have a Twitter account, you have a Facebook, some people they have
this could be a descriptive name also.
Code name, they have like
people.
My
messenger.
People,
by
people.
By the way,
yeah.
The letters, also rearranged, spelled Michael.
Michael. Malachi spelled Michael. So he's saying that it was you.
Some say in some situations, the angel.
So you suggest that it was you?
I'm no angel.
Okay, Malachi is Michael. Chazal nechleku mihoya hanavi azildiri kulam handesnabe achabin abayis. According to all opinions, Malachi, his prophecy was after the Binyan Habayis. It was already during the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. The Hoya Chosim Hanevi'im Kimoshe Yispo'er B'Sef HaSefer. Malachi is the last of the prophets. When he died, that was the end of the era of prophecy. And when did this take place? So we said many times, this took place approximately 40 years into the building of the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni lasted for 420 years, and for the first 40 years, we still had the benefit of prophecy. And after that, it was all downhill. Now, Hashem doesn't just take away prophecy and leave us high and dry. There was an intermediary step before we go high and before we have nothing. That is a baskol. Today there's no such thing as a baskol. No one, you never ever heard a story of someone telling you, oh, they heard a baskol. No such thing. A baskol is a very powerful communication with above, where Hashem speaks to the world. He sends out a voice there is a voice that their words that are articulated, that are heard by people. A baskal, and you have this all over in the Talmud. A baskal went forth. A baskal is a, when they were prophets, it would have seemed there was no such thing as a baskal. There was no such thing as a baskal. You don't find any mention of a baskal in the time of the Ovis, time of Tanakh. As long as there were prophets, there was no such thing as a baskal. A baskal first came into existence with the end of prophecy.
So it's yes. A lesser level.
Yes, it's a transitional phase. Hashem doesn't just, nothing happens abruptly in Judaism. Everything is gradual. So after prophecy came to an end, there began a new era of a communication with Hashem, which is not as nearly as intense and as powerful, but nevertheless it is. There's something very powerful and beautiful and significant, and we don't really pay much attention to this. We have this in the Gemara all over the time. Oh, there was a baskal. So to us it sounds like almost, all right, yeah, there was a baskal, this, that. No, a baskal is a form of prophecy. It's not prophecy, but it's a step down, and it allowed Klal Yisrael to gradually be weaned off, because since it was that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was his desire that we should no longer have prophecy, but he did not take it away from us in one shot. And we also know that the reason why we lost prophecy was because we lost the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah and Gili, part a weakening of the Yetzer of Gili Arayis. Chazal tell us that when the Bayesheni, when they were about to build, they built the Bayesheni, the Anshei Knesses HaGadolah, they realized, this appears in the Gemara in Masechta Yoma and other places as well, they realized that there is no way we're going to survive with the Yetzer Hara, Avodah Zarah, and Gili Arayis. If we did not survive in the Bayis Rishon, there's no way we're going to survive in the Bayesheni. How are we going to survive? So they were mispalel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should eliminate the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah and weaken the Yetzer Hara for Arayos. And Hashem granted their request. They captured, whatever. The Gemara has an elaborate discussion what this means, all very esoteric. They captured, they put it in a tube, in an iron tube with a seal, and it's locked away. But the rule is no pain, no gain. There was a very great cost. It was not a gift, it wasn't for free. By losing the Yetzer, by eliminating the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah and Gili Arayos, it came at the expense of losing the benefit of prophecy. So this that we have today, we're in the dark. Diminishment. The Gemara explicitly says that Avodah Zarah was completely captured. Arayos was diminished. They blinded the eye of the Yetzer Hara of Arayos, which is interpreted to mean that a person has no Yetzer Hara for his close relatives. For his seven close relatives, no, that's not a normal thing. That's a sickness. A person has a Yetzer Hara for his relatives. So we don't find today healthy people having an issue with this matter, and this was a result of the tefillos of the Anshei Knesses HaGadolah, and it was weakened. We don't find anyone today bowing down to brick and wood. I don't know, I've never seen someone see a piece of wood in the street and feel compelled to bow before it and say, "You are my God." You've never seen such a thing. But in ancient times, this happened all the time. This is an everyday occurrence, because that desire to worship stone and wood and the stars, the sun, the moon, the stars, has been completely eliminated. However, what about the Yetzer Hara for Nashim, forbidden relations? That's very much alive today. The whole world is operating on with this in a very powerful way. However, we have to appreciate that in ancient times it was much worse. The taiva for Nashim was even, some say, double. Was much, much worse. Person had a very hard time, every waking hour, person had a very hard time existing. His hormones were totally, on overdrive. And the Anshei Knesses HaGadayla originally eliminated it entirely. There was, can you imagine, no desire for Noshim. Changed everything. No desire. So what happened? The problem was they went for breakfast. They went to Dunkin' Donuts. And they asked, can I please have some scrambled eggs? And the person behind the counter said, sorry, there are no eggs. Why are there no eggs? I don't know. They don't deliver eggs. So they went to the factory where they make the eggs. The chickens are on strike. The chickens are on strike. A farm? What's a farm? What's a farm? The chickens are on strike. What do you mean they're on strike? They have no desire to reproduce. There's no Yetzirah. There's no Yetzirah anywhere in the world. No, there's no. And then Chazal realized they went too far. They went way too far. You eliminate the Yetzirah for Arayos, for the Taivas Hanoshim, then the world cannot operate. So they were mispalil to bring it back, but not 100%. They brought it back, but they blinded its eye. What does it mean they blinded its eye? Either it means that it's the taiva has been reduced, the taiva today is only 50% of what it was, or what it means is that a person does not have a yetzar for his close relatives. Okay, so that is, now why the Kadosh Baruch Hu, why now that came with a price, a very, very heavy price. Okay, in order to take away the Hashem should be willing to eliminate the Yetzirah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away from us the benefit of prophecy. Prophecy, we can't even begin to imagine what prophecy, if we had prophecy today. You know why? Because if you have prophecy, you know all the secrets. You know why. You know why did Hashem bring, however you want to describe it, Corona. Why? No one knows the answer. No one. No one knows the answer. If we had prophets.
Is your mic on?
Yeah, you don't hear me? It's not loud enough? How's it now?
Yeah, good.
We don't have prophecy today. Can you imagine if you had prophecy, you would know the answer to why. Why was there a Holocaust? Why did this event happen? Why did that event happen? All the answers would be, all of the questions would be answered. And that would provide a person with Yishuv Hadas. It would give us so much, it would be so satisfying. It would give us focus, the ability to have closure to many of the things that bother us continuously. The world would be a whole different world.
I don't know. How did it work out when we had the war?
Well, that zelum azeh. We did. That's the issue. We had nevuah, but we had this incredible yetzahara for avodah zara. There's always a balance. We had nevuah, and we had a yetzahara for avodah zara.
The trade-off.
Right. So the trade-off is we no longer have a yetzahara, but mitzat sheni. What's the collateral damage? We're in the dark. We're living in a cloud.
But we did gain something in its place.
And that is, we don't have a Yetzirah for what? What do we gain in its place?
That now the wisdom comes through our Talmidei Chachamim, who work things through.
Work together. It's another.
Their knowledge of Torah.
Knowledge of Torah. That's okay. Fine. That's part of the discussion. That Chochmas HaTorah, Chocham. Adif minavi. A chacham is wiser than a navi. A chacham also, Rabbi Chola said, that we're able to deduce intuitively, to derive the same result as if we had prophecy. And that is why in the Talmud and in the Medrash, when it was post the era of prophecy, they're always telling us continuously why. Why did this happen? Why did this person suffer tragedy? Why? What do you mean? How do they know? How do they know the answer to all the questions? The answers to the questions generally only come through prophecy. When you have a link, you have a red phone, you can call Hashem and ask him why. The answer is Chacham Adif Minavi. A wise man is able to derive through intellectual pursuit his to studying Torah is able to derive the same result as a prophet, and even better. So you have, look at the transition, you have prophecy, and then you had a bas koil, which also was part of the transition into the era of the Chachomim. And then, after the Chasimas HaTalmud, and the Rabbonon Savoroi, approximately in the year 1000, approximately you have the Goinim, you come now to the time of the Goinim, approximately in the year 1000, it was the end of the era of the Chachamim. So that thing, look at the transition of communication. Let's discuss communication with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You have the Ovois. Hashem spoke to them like He speaks, like we talk to each other. And then you had you know, the later generations, their Nevuah, Nevim were not the Nevim Rishonim, Nevim Acharonim, and obviously the Madreik of the Nevuah of each of these groups got diminished over time. It diminished over time, and then it came to the time of the Basco. At the end of when they build the Bayis Sheni, Malachi is the last of the Nevi'im, come to an era of the Basco, and that was part of the transition into the era of the Chachamim, the Tanoim, the Amoroim, and then the Rabbanan Savoroi, the Goinim, and that's it. After that time, approximately the year 1000, there are no more Nevuah, no more Basco, no more Chachamim. What do we got? We got nothing. And nothing, the Rishonim, Rashi, the Radak, the Bali Tosfos, the Rambam, okay, all the Gedolei, all of the Rishonim. The Rishonim never, ever, ever tell you why. They'll never tell you they don't attempt to serve in the role of the Nevi'im. The Tanoim and the Amoraim did. The Tanoim and the Amoraim, they serve the same function as the Nevi'im, in that they told you secrets. They were able to tell you why bad things happen to good people. They were able to connect the dots. They were able to reveal things that there's no way a human being could possibly reveal on his own, only through Chochmah, through Torah, through Siyata D'Shemaya. Chochom, Odif Minavi. A Chochom is even better than a Navi. But when that Tekufa came to an end, approximately in the secular year 1000, with the beginning of the Rishonim never tried, the Rishonim do not attempt in any way whatsoever to fill the void of prophecy. They're here to comment and to study what was in the past, to study, to decipher the Torah HaKadosha, but not to serve the role of the Nevi'im. And the beginning of the end of the Nevi'im is with the death of Malachi, and that's what the Malm over here says, and he's going to come to this later on in the Sefer. Now, let's take a look over here at the Mamori Chazal, on the bottom of page 862, Masor Dvar Hashem, El Yishol B'yad Malachi, Amr Avdachman Malachi, Zem Mordechai. Today is Purim, Mordechai. In front of me, so we have already two of the people over here on the page, are right in front of my eyes.
He says, yeah. Malachi is Mordechai?
Yes! Don't you know that? Your name is Mordechai. Didn't you know all these years that you are Malachi? Well, now you do.
He doesn't agree with ones who say that it was really Ezra.
Exactly. So yesterday, he's saying very good. So already we have three candidates. Who is Malachi? We have Rabbi Michal, we have Rabbi Mordechai Biedenstock, and we have Ezra Fried. Three people in the Kollel are trying to claim, Rabbi Lezer, don't worry, we'll find you here also somewhere. Don't worry, Rabbi Lezer, we'll get you in here. Mayor, he's very upset because he already checked that he can't find that. He's still trying to find, he can sneak in over here. Bertie, three candidates, who exactly is, Malachi? Is it Ezra? Is it Mordechai? Or is it Michael, a Malach, right? One of the Malachim. Mimini Michael, Umismoli Gabriel, Umilafanai Oriel. He neonochi Shalech Malachi. Malachi means Michael, it's a messenger. Okay, so we have over here already three interpretations as to who exactly is this person, this mysterious person. It appears that everyone seems to be saying that Malachi is not his real name. Malachi is a code name. It's a code name for who this person really was. And the Chazal says, "Amar Rabbi Nachman, Malachi is a Mordechai, v'lo menikra shmo Malachi, shehoyeh mishne lemelech." The word Malachi is a melech. The word Malachi has the same letters as Mem, Lamed, Chaf, and because we play, we abuse the word, we change its pronunciation, add some letters, we diminish the potency of the word melech, and it turns into a secondary melech. When you take something and you dilute it from its purest form, then it turns into a different person.
Isn't the Targum by far the earliest portion?
The Targum, Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel, yes, that is correct.
The time of the
yes. You have to also understand that you're not allowed to write. You have to understand that also the Torah Shel Bal Peh may not be written. This principle of Eis Lasos LaHashem Heferu Torasecha is a modern phenomenon. And when exactly did they start writing commentary? And it's true, the Targum, and there are many Targumim on Nevi'im. We do not have Unkelus, we have Targum Yonasan. And what exactly is Targum Yonasan? How does all this play out? How does all this play out and come together? I don't know. It's, you're right, but it's the earliest
stuff. So shouldn't we give more attention and more credence to the Targum?
Here's a very good question. Yeah, we go back to Unkelus. You see Rashi over and over again disagrees with Unkelus. Oh, but how could Rashi disagree with Unkelus? Unkelus came before Rashi. He penned his Unkelus about 1,000 years. Before 1,000 years, a long time. And Rashi very often just dismisses, Unkelus. How could he do that? How could Rashi do that? I don't know. I don't have a good answer. I don't know. Obviously, it has to be that there are different traditions. Unkelus is representing a Mesorah. And at Har Sinai, the Torah is given in many, many, many flavors. Okay? Go to Baskin Robbins. 31 flavors. They probably have a lot more than that. Right? It's all ice cream. Like in a certain bakery, I used to go to this bakery, I don't go to it. To me, every day, go in the bakery, there's literally the walls are lined with cakes, cookies, and this and that. To me, I'm telling you the honest truth, everything in this bakery tastes exactly the same. Everything is the same. Everything you eat is just, I don't know, what can I tell you? Oh, this one has this swirl on it, and this one has this black piece of chocolate on it, and this. But the bottom line is, everything in this bakery tastes exactly the same. So, but how come you look on the wall, there's so many different products in this bakery? Yeah, it comes in different flavors. The Torah, it's all the same. There are different dimensions in analyzing the Torah. Unkelus is presenting one view, one dimension, but it's not the only flavor it comes in. And Rashi is presenting another dimension. When Rashi rejects Unkelus, he's not rejecting Unkelus that Unkelus is wrong. Rashi says, Lebosi ela lefarish. Rashi's goal is to tell you his idea, which idea fits into the words the best. Which word, which interpretation slides into the words the best. Now, that doesn't mean that's the only interpretation. There are other interpretations which are MS 100%. But he says, Unkelus, what you're saying is correct, and that's definitely another dimension of the Torah, but I am coming over here to write a commentary which will allow the reader to read the words and translate them in the simplest way and understand what the pasuk is coming to teach you. And for that, I'm giving an interpretation which my interpretation or the tradition I have received fits better into the words than what you are trying to say. Not that what you're saying is wrong. Let's go further. So over here, the Ma'am Chazal says that Rabbi Nachman Malach is a Merchah. V'lam Nikva Shema Malach, Shoyim Ben Mishnah L'Melach. Meisve, Baruch Ben Neiria. We have a tradition that Baruch Ben Neiria, who is Baruch Ben Neiria? He was the teacher of Ezra, Ezra's Rebbe. Ezra did not immediately come to Yerushalayim to rebuild, to be participate in the rebuilding of the Bayit Sheni, because he could not abandon his Rebbe Baruch ben Neriah. Baruch ben Neriah was an elderly person. He could not make the trip. It was not possible for him to survive the trip from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So he was not going anywhere. And Ezra was his student. He felt it was not proper to abandon him, so he stayed by his side until he died. And then he left. So Baruch ben Neriah, Usaroya ben Machseya, he was another leader in the Jewish people, Vidoniel, Mordechai Bilshon. Now, is Mordechai Bilshon the same as Mordechai HaYehudi? Some say yes, some say not.
Some say that was another name.
Another name.
Or his real name.
His real name, right. So Bilshon means he knew all 70 languages. To sit in the Sanhedrin, you had to be fluent in all 70 languages. Okay, so this is a big discussion. Is Mordechai Bilshon, is that two names? Was it two people? Is it one person? Is it his name? And you don't typically find the ancient people having two names. People in ancient times typically only had one name. So does this mean that he had two names? Just a description of who he was? That's not for now. The Chagai, Zechariah, Umalochi, Kulam, Nisnabu, Bishnas, they all delivered prophecy, Bishnas, Shtaim, Lidor, Yovesh. Which Yovesh? Dar Yovesh, HaParsi. This was Dar Yovesh, the son of Esther. This was the tail end of the 70 years of Golus. They all delivered prophecy together. So what's the proof of, what's the question? We are making an assumption that the Mordechai Bilshon is Mordechai HaYehudi. And if in the list we have two separate, we have Malachi and we have Mordechai Bilshon, there can no way, can they be the same person, because then they're being counted twice. It's like on Zoom, when Mayor Appeldorf, he appears in two places at the same time. He has two phones. You can't cheat, either one or the other. You can't have two the same. Tayufta. So the Gemara says, indeed, you are correct. We have charata. Tayufta means we retract. We have been disproven. Mordechai Malachi is not Mordechai. Tanya within the Raisa, Amar Mishum ben Karcha, Malachi ze Ezra. That's what was said in the Radak. Radak said that Mordechai is Ezra. Lachachamim Oimim Malachi Shmo. No. What do you have to go and give a name of Malachi and tell you it's not his real name, it's his code name? Just Pshuta Kimashmoy. His real name was Malachi, Ve'en Ve'inikin Lod Macher. That was, he was an independent person, that was his real name. You don't have to go see that it was Ezra. This was a person, his name was Malachi. What more do you need? And we discussed this yesterday in the Radak. The Radak also rejected the fact that he was called Ezra, so we ended up yesterday because of the term Ezra HaSoifer. And we tried yesterday to explain is that the word Soifer is not just a descriptive term of what he did for how he made a living. That he wrote books. That's not what it means. We counted letters. What it means is it's a term. Just like there's a term of an Av, there's a term called a Navi, there's a term called a Melech, there's a term called a Shofet, there's a Gibor. There are certain terms that Tanakh has given our ancestors. These are terms to define who they were. There is a term called a Sofer. That's a term. It's like you're a melech, a soifer. If you're called a soifer, you're not a navi, because the Torah only gives you one term. There's no such thing as giving two titles. Today you go to a wedding, they call a person harav, hagoin, a doctor, colonel, right? They give people today. When they write down, they give people multiple terms. No such thing. In ancient times, there's nothing called rabbi doctor. If you're a rabbi, you're not a doctor. If you're a doctor, you're not a rabbi. Today we live in a world where you could have it all. Torah u'gedula b'makay mechad. Okay, my father was a rabbi doctor. Many people are rabbi doctors, but it appears in ancient times that's a no-no. It's a stira mine obey. If you're a rabbi doctor, then there's something wrong with your doctorate. Would you go? The Rambam, so the Rambam, yes, me question, the Rambam. Okay, so maybe the Rambam was already a Rishon. The Rambam is a Rishon. Let's go back to time. The Rambam is a latecomer. A Rambam is from modern times. We're talking about in time of Tanakh. We're talking about the time of Tanakh. Think about it. If you go to a doctor, if you looking for a person who needs a surgeon, and they tell you, oh, here's a surgeon. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. That's a warning sign. Maybe you should not go to him. Because is it Talmud Chacham? How does he have time to learn? If you're a surgeon, and you're a really good surgeon, it means you're totally immersed in your profession. So, what he gives daf yomi shir, the Gemara says, don't take for yourself a mayor who is a Talmud Chacham. Because when there's an emergency, the building collapsed, where's the mayor? He can't come now, he's in the middle of giving the shir. He's giving a daf yomi shir. He can't come, you have to wait until he finishes the shir. That's not a mayor. There's an emergency, this is your job. You have to be available 24/7. You want to go to a surgeon? You guy's going to open up a person's brain and start playing around in there? Oh, he's a Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmud Chacham. He gives a daf yomi shir. Stay far, far away. Because he has other interests and he's not fully immersed in this profession, and you know that means he's not the best. Someone who's really, this is all they do. They live and breathe. You can't have it all. You can't have it all. If you're a doctor, then you're not a rabbi. If you're a rabbi doctor, how could you be a rabbi? How could you possibly know Kol HaTorah Kula and at the same time have a doctorate from in biology? You know how much time it takes to master. It takes multiple lifetimes to be a Talmud Chacham. And you're able in the same time also to get a doctorate? Okay, that's not the way we live today. It's not the way we live today. But in the time of Tanakh, if you're a Navi, you're not a Sofer. If you're a Sofer, you're not a Shofet. If you're an Av, you're not a Melech. If you're a Melech, you're not a Gibor. Every person has one specialty. That's the way it goes. On Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, when you come to the Musaf, in the Musaf, and you come to Kiddusha, and you come to the word Ayei Mikoyim Kivoidoi. Look in your Machzor. It says there, here the shots, the Shliach Tzibur is supposed to sing, elaborate. When you come to it, Ayei, he's supposed to now perform a melody. Why? In order to give the people time to recite a prayer. What do you recite? You have a choice. There are three things. You can say either pray for children, pray for Ruach HaKodesh, or pray for money, Oisha. So, pray, what's the obvious question? Why only pray for one of the three? Pray for all three, right? The answer is you can't have it all. That's right, you can't. You can't have it all. You gotta make a decision in life. What's the Ikor and what's the Tofel? So we learned yesterday that if Ezra over here is being called a Sofer, it means he's not a Navi. If he's a Navi, he's not a Sofer. Here, the Svam Chazal says that he says over here, another interpretation, that he's none of the above. He's not Ezra, he's not a Sofer, he's not a Navi. I mean, he's a Navi, Malachi Shmuel, because he's not going to be Ezra, because Ezra was the Sofer. He's not Mordechai. Malachi Shmuel, the Inakin of the Macher, fine, let's leave with that. Amr Nachman, third line from the bottom, third line from the top, so third line from the top. Mistaver commander Omar Malachi Ze Ezra. That's much more Mistaver. Why? Dechsiv, it says Benevius Malachi. It says in the prophecy of Malachi. Okay, later on Perek Beis, Bogda Yehuda V'Soeva Ne'esesa B'Yisrael. The Jewish people have rebelled and they have committed an abomination in the Jewish people of Yishlaim and Yishlaim. Ki Chil Yehuda Kodesh. Yehuda has profaned the Holy of Hashem Asher Ohev. Uvohal bas el necha. We had this in the Radak, and they had relations, forbidden relations. Uman afresh noshim nochiyos. Who do we find in this era was steeply involved in separating non-Jewish women? Mibaleyan hayyudim. Mibaleyan hayyudim. Ezra the Chassid says vayan shechanya ben Yichiel ibnei elav yibul Ezra nachnu ma'aldu belokinu v'noshev. We have harbored Noshim Nochriyos, non-Jewish women. So since we find over here in Malachi, part of this Nevuah explicitly mentions intermarriage, and we know as a fact that Ezra was heavily steeped in weeding out intermarriage amongst the Jewish people. So therefore it's very logical to say that it was Ezra, that Malachi is Ezra. It seems that since both of these people were involved in the same topic, that was their goal, it must be that there is a connection between them. Okay, that concludes the Vayim Chazal. Is there anything else we need to look at over here on the page? I believe we did everything over here. The Chumash, no, the Chumash HaNoch. Let's try the Chumash HaNoch. Let's see what he says. Chumash HaNoch, times. gets a little bit esoteric. If it gets too esoteric, we'll just stop cold turkey. But let's give it a try. The chidah sometimes is a ball out of the ballpark home run, and sometimes it's out of the universe. And therefore, we better abandon ship before we get into trouble. Masa Devar Hashem El Yisrael. So he makes the Rosh Tevis. Rosh Tevis Gematria Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. It's the Gematria. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is what is 95. No, it's not 95. I'm sorry. What am I saying? It's 60, 65. Right? Aleph Dalet Yud Kei Vav Kei is 90. I always get mixed up. There are two names of Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26, and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65. 65 plus 26 is 91. Is that correct? Is 91. That's why you always hear the gematria, the number 91, refers to the combination of the two shemos of Hashem, the way Hashem's name is spelled and the way Hashem's name is written. Yud kei vav kei plus aleph dalid nun yud loy kei shani nichtav ani nikra. So the number 91 is always a very popular gematria. 91, it represents the ribbono shel olam in his full glory. Yud kei vav kei plus aleph dalid nun yud. But sometimes we just focus on one or the other. 26, who hasn't heard Rabbi Darshan about the number 26? Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. Now, you don't hear as often, but many also the Darshan about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the number 65. 65 is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. And here he says that the Gematria of Mem, Dalet, Aleph, Yud, it's not Hashem's name, but it's the gematria. It's like a typical chidah, kabbalistic type of stuff. You notice the Svardim always into numbers. The Svardim, they love to darshan. They love darshan the numbers. Abin Mansur, he has a really great sefer on Shmona Esrei. It's a very, very popular. It's a fantastic English sefer on the Shmona Esrei. A lot of the stuff there are gematrias. A lot of numbers. This past Sunday, I went to an event. So he had a young rabbi, spoke very well. Young must be, it looks like he's in his 20s, a new rabbi, his name is Rabbi, I think Yaakov Mizrahi. Mizrahi, if I'm not mistaken, that's his name. I think it's Yaakov Mizrahi. So he spoke very, very well, but and he spoke, the Havodah Svaradit, and a lot of his Torah was Gematrius. The Svaradim, they have a chiba for numbers. Count Dracula. You know who that is? No one here is laughing. What? Tamari, she's very good with numbers. Tamari, you good with numbers? She knows numbers. She knows a lot of numbers. Numbers. Masa Devar Hashem El Yisrael. Rosh Etevus Gematria Aleph Dalet Nun Yun 65. Biad Malachi B'Gematria Membeis. What is the significance of Membeis? Tigam Yunus and Malachi Yuduhu Ezra. The Chosah B'Sefer Ben Parot Yosef. That's obviously, Sardim over here. Ben Parot Yosef. This is Chodosh. Allah HaHaftaros. Okay, he's writing over here on a new Sefer in his day. The Chidah lived a long time ago. I don't remember the exact year, but he wrote writing about this new Sefer that appeared in the Haftaros. The Ezra HaYakoyin Gadol V'Nikra Malach Hashem Tzavokas. Ezra was a Kohen. Ezra over here is online. MDCYFF. Is that Ezra? I think that's Ezra. That he was a Kohen, maybe I'm mistaken. That he was a Kohen. And a Kohen, he was the Kohen Gadol, in fact. And he was called, the Kohen Gadol was called the Malach Hashem, the Ezra Hoy Kohen Gadol, Vinikah Malach Hashem Tzavaka, so Lekach Kinu Malachi. He was a Malach Hashem Tzavaka, that's what we call Malachi, Ad Kan Devarav. We had, the Maimon Chazal said something exactly like that. That the word Malachi is a form of the word Melech. Melech means king. Melech, and he was Mishneh leMelech. A Mishneh leMelech, a secondary king. So, and here he says, he says something different. He says, Malach means an angel. I'm sorry, an angel. It's okay, similar. V'nela mimenu d'rabaseinu z'choinim levracha amu b'medrash chazisa. Okay, that's a very popular medrash. Rabbi Chol, are you familiar with that medrash? Rabbi Chol goes all the midrashim.
Well, no, I haven't looked at it. Pretty obscure. I wouldn't say it's popular.
Okay, but they have the Nikud. I used to always see this quote. I always look at Medrash Chazis. And yes, now Baruch Hashem Arshkos corrected me, there's Nikudos, and it says Medrash Chazisa.
Well,
this is the first time I've seen it spelled out.
So you also are. So see, I'm not alone. Rabbi Chol, you also assume that it was Medrash Chazis.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. See, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shekivanti. Over here.
Melech and Malach are from two different Sharashim. Melech Mem Lamed Kaf means to rule. Malach, the Shorash Lamed Aleph Kaf, means to send.
To send.
So Malach is another word for Shliach.
It's a completely different word. You suggest that it's a completely different word, they're not related?
In Druidic, which is a Canaanite language, a Semitic language, Lamed Aleph Kaf, means to send.
To send, okay.
Send. Sure, like we have Shumana Kess to send.
Right, so we have two different. An angel is a messenger of Hashem.
Right.
A king is a ruler. So we learned before in the Likutei Shas, in the previous page, as a Chazal say it means a king. So the Pharisee says he was a Mishneh Lemelech. So according to this Baimer Chazal, the word Malachi, the root of the word Malachi is from the form of a king, a ruler. And the Chidah and others are telling us incorrect. Or different, that it's not from the root of a rulership, but from a messenger, the different word entirely, with the Aleph, which is a messenger, and the ultimate messenger of Hashem is an angel. Okay, so there are two different words which Rav Kohn is teaching us are not exactly the same.
Tell him that I'm impressed with his command of Semitic languages.
Rabbi Chols is very, we're all impressed with your command of Semitic languages. You're on a different, you got me confused. Harav, Dr. Colonel Cohn, because you have a different code name today.
Colonel,
today you're on Ronnie, R-O-N-I. Normally you have a different code name. Today you are confusing us. It's okay. Baruch Hashem, it's all good. Baruch Hashem, I'm just playing around here. Okay, let's go further. Let's move ahead over here in the Chidah. Ad Kan Devarav. Over here on the Chidon, page 863, 1, 2, 3, 5 lines on Vanel and Men Divrei Rabbi Seinu Zechonim Levracha Amru B'Medrash Chazisa. Okay, new to me. The Ezra Lohoya Kohen, he disagrees. The Medrash says that he was not a Kohen Gadol. Lohoya Kohen Gadol. Vihachim Moichachay Kiroi. The Pesukim tells who was the Yehoshua. Yehoshua was the Kohen Gadol. Not Malachi, when they rebuilt the Bayis Sheni, Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel was the Melech, and Yehoshua was the Kohen Gadol. There is a discussion that Ezra should have been, and maybe, and I vaguely remember that, I think when Ezra did come down, he did replace Yehoshua, because Ezra, as we said before, refused to come down immediately, because he wanted to be Meshamesh, his Rebbe, Baruch ben Neiriah. He did not want to abandon his Rebbe. So even though they offered him the job to be the Kohen Gadol, he said, no, I can't. I have to be Meshamish, my Rebbe, Baruch ben Neriah. When Baruch ben Neriah died, and then Ezra went to Eretz Yisrael, I think there's a discussion, there's a discussion if Malachi stepped down to allow Ezra to lead as the Kohen Gadol. But he cites over here that Ezra was not, at least in the beginning he was not, Hein emes de meharambam muchach de hoye kohen gadol. Oh, he's quoting the Rambam. The Rambam lists. We really should one day we'll learn the Hakdam to the Rambam of the Arach HaZaka. There are two things I want to learn one day together in this show. I want to learn the Rambam's Hakdama to the Arach HaZaka. It is an extremely valuable document because he lays out history, Jewish history, like none other. It's an amazing, amazing thing to learn together inside. We must do it. And also to learn together the letter of Rabbi Sharira Goin. Rabbi Sharira Goin also, he was, someone asked him a letter. They wrote to him from one of the Goinim. They sent a letter from somewhere in the world to ask him some information about Jewish history. And he responded with a letter like none other, where he laid out for us Jewish history. And it's incredible. If not for this letter, we would be in the dark on many matters of Jewish history. He preserved the Messiah. Art Scroll recently did an incredible work. They did about 2 years ago, they put out an introductory volume to the Talmud Bavli. It looks like the Art Scroll Gemara. It's a thick book, a thick volume, and it has an enormous amount of material in that volume. It's a masterpiece. It's received. I'm not a person that's eligible to say that, but the reviews, the critics have, you know, there are no critics. All of the people who have reviewed this volume have really nothing to say but the greatest praise for this. And there, they've elaborated, elucidated the letter of Rabbi Sherero Goyim. So that's something very worthy. And then I came across, actually last week, I was in the Sfarms from Dikolaisen, I came across a sefer, an independent sefer, which was really focused on the introduction to the Rambam's Yad HaChazakah. And as a bonus, he also put in a whole section of Rabbi Sherero Goyim, the letter to elaborate, because there's a lot of overlap. There's some overlap, not a lot, there's overlap between what the Rambam wrote in his letter, in the Hagdama, to what Rabbi Sherero Goyim wrote in the letter. And it's very interesting to compare the two together. It's a very fascinating analysis to compare Rabbi Sherero Goyim, what he wrote, with what the Rambam wrote in his Hagdama. But he writes over here, I think over here he's quoting from the Hagdama. I'm not sure which he's quoting from the Rambam, Muchach Tohoy, from the Emes, the Rambam, Muchach Tohoy, Koin Godol, Kemoshe Kosafi. I think he's referring to the Hagdama, to the Yad HaChazakah. The Rambam there says that Ezra indeed was a Koin Godol. Kemoshe Kosafi, B'mokoy Macher. The Ezra, so if we have a stira, who was Ezra? Will the real Ezra stand up? Who was he? Over here we're saying he's Malachi. Then we have he was a Kohen Gadol. He was not a Kohen Gadol. He went to Bavel. He made Aliyah. He didn't make Aliyah. He was busy with his Baruch Ben Iriya. What's going on here? Who is this person? We need more definition. He's turning up in too many places. What's going on? The Efsher. The Ezra Hoya, oh no, this is something I didn't sign up for. I did not sign up for this, Rabbi Yisrael. I told you, watch out. I told you this may happen to us. I did not sign up for this. Don't accuse me. The Efsher, the Ezra Hoya, Gilgal, Aaron HaKoyen. Okay, we're going to be censored now. He was the Gilgal of Aaron HaKoyen, a reincarnation of Aaron HaKoyen, Kemosha Kosar Rabbeinu Harizal. Wow. Ulurame Zenikra Malachi Dixiv, it says Gabi Aaron ki Malach Hashem Tzivoko Yisu. It says in this Sefer about Aaron, we say this in the Haftorah, the Mimavakesh Torah Mipiv Kohanim, our teachers, and we call Aaron and Malach. In fact, it's a very beautiful Chazal, because Chazal say, Im Doime Rabcha Le Malach Hashem Tzivoko Yis Yivakesh Torah Mipiv. If your Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem Tzivakos, it's worthy to go study Torah. But if not, stay far away. Who are the teachers of Klal Yisrael? The Kohanim. The Aten Tihinun Li Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. How could the entire Klal Yisrael be called Kohanim? Only Shevet Levi a Kohanim. The answer is a Kohen doesn't mean only a priest who serves in the Mikdash and is Makriv Kurbanis. The real meaning of a Kohen is a teacher. Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch is very, very heavy on this idea. A Kohen literally means a teacher. We are the teachers of the Umos Olam. We are the Ma'at. We are the smallest nation in this world. There are billions of people. There are 7-8 billion human beings on this world. How many Jews are there in this world? 50 million at most? How many of those Jews even appreciate and practice Judaism? I don't know. A million? I don't even know what the numbers are. More than a million? How many Orthodox Jews are there in this world? How many Jews know their, how many people, how many of the 50 million people even know, identify as being Jewish? How many of them have practiced something about Judaism? Something about Judaism? I don't know the numbers. They say, they claim, the people who do study these things the whole day, they claim that in the world right now there are 15 million Jews, that halachic Jews, 15 million halachic Jews, their mother was Jewish. How many of them are Shomer Shabbos? I don't know. How many of them identify as being Jewish? I don't know. How many of them do something Jewish? I don't know. But there are about 15 million Jews. How many non-Jews are there? about 7 billion. So what's the ratio? Who's the mathematician here? Mr. Marillis, Baruch Hashem, what's the ratio? What percent of the world are Jews?
Ridiculous.
If there are 7 billion human beings and there are 15 million Jews, what percent of the world is Jewish? We'll give him some time.
0.1%.
Point what? I can't, what? 0.5%? Not even one, but half of a percent of this world is Jewish. Can you imagine that? A half of 1%, not even. What? So what's the number? What? 1%? Whatever it is. Less than 1% of this world is Jewish. So what? So by the Jews yet are charged, are every single Jew is given the charge to be a teacher. We are charged to be teachers, to teach the world, to teach the world. A Kohen is a teacher, and on a smaller scale, in the time of Chazal,
what
was it again?
0.2%.
0.2%. Okay, 0.2%. Of what? Of this world is Jewish. We're teeny, teeny. The numbers were nothing. Unbelievable. How little. How small. How many Jews there are in this world relative to the world population? Again, there are approximately 7 billion people in this world. If I'm not mistaken, that's what they say in the news.
Yes.
Okay, 7 billion people, and there are about 15 million Jews in the world. Okay, now this year, this time, it's now about 75 years since the Holocaust, something like that, depending on the Holocaust, 6 years, 39 to 40, 44. At the time of the Holocaust, they claimed there were about 14, 15 million Jews in the world. And now there are 14, 15 million Jews. So it took us about 75 years to replenish what Nazi Germany wiped out. What? 18 million Jews, they say?
Yeah, because so then when, there was 12 million after the war, so if they killed 6.
Okay, I don't know. They're different calculations. No one really has it right. It's hard. It's hard. These are all, estimates. Not really possible even to really make a true assessment. But any event, we have over here this idea that a malach, that a Kohen is called a teacher. The Rav Sham Shimon Fol Hirsch, he says the translation of the word Kohen is a teacher. A Kohen, we translate what Kohen is a priest, someone who works in the Beis Hamikdash, offers korbanos, and there's the head priest. Oh, that's absolutely true. And indeed, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, who were the mechanchim? Who were the people that were the teachers that taught the children, taught adults, adult education, Jewish education, primarily Kohanim. Kohanim, that's what their role was. They were not just there to work in the Beis HaMikdash, they were there to teach Klal Yisrael to be the Melamdim. Klal Yisrael as a whole are called teachers relative to the Umma Yisraelam. V'yatem, tihiyun li, mamleches kohanim v'goy kodosh. Chazal, the Pasuk says later on in Sif Malachi, it says over here, im doime rabicha lemalach Hashem tzivokos, yivakesh toira mipiyu. If your Rebbe is like a malach, an angel, then you shall, in other words, okay, whatever that means, there are many interpretations, but it basically means that he's the real deal. He's not a phony. He's the real deal. He is sincere. He's committed to the cause. He's devoted to the mission. Then you should study by him. If not, stay far away. And who does this pasuk refer to? When we talk about a malach, who do we call malach? I'm not sure. I think one of the only people that we call a malach in Tanakh is Aaron HaKohen. Now, Aaron HaKohen is not a malach. He's a human being. Let's not kid ourselves. Aaron HaKohen is a human being. Let's not go off into what other religions do to their leaders and make them into deities. Aaron HaKohen is a human being. He was born from a mother and a father, real people, and he died for real. Okay, he's a human being, and yet the pasuk Malachi calls him a malach. Why does the pasuk call Aaron HaKohen a malach? It's because Aaron was the ultimate teacher. He was the quintessential teacher. And therefore, since Chazal say, "Im doime rabicha lemalach Hashem tzivokos yivakeish toira mipiyu," since Chazal's criteria what is Chazal's criteria for a Rebbe? It's to for a Rebbe that has no ulterior motives. He's purely devoted. A Malach Hashem Tzevakos. Aaron HaKohen, a Kohen means a teacher. And Aaron fulfilled that mission of being a Malach Hashem Tzevakos in order to be the ultimate teacher. That's why he's called a Malach Hashem Tzevakos. So now, when we talk about Ezra, and we're saying over here, this real esoteric stuff over here, that Ezra is a me'ein of Aaron HaKohen, there's Ezra HaGigul Aaron HaKohen, K'moshe Kosh Rabbeinu HaRizal, Ulram is Zenikra Malach, the Tzivitz Gabi Aaron, it is by Aaron, Ki Malach Hashem Tzevakosu. Again, why was Aaron called a Malach? Because he was a teacher. He was a Rabban, in Dom Rabcha. V'hu hoya k'negin Michael, Ois Yos Malachi, And therefore, that's why we play with the word Malach. Malach is the same letters as Malachi. It's the same Shoresh.
Yeah, and the Kohen is a teacher from Herod Bey's Zion.
What does it say there?
Yishmudas.
Mipiyu. This is what it said. This is the Rav Shamsha Falosh. A Kohen literally means a teacher. And that's why he's called a Malach, because the ultimate teacher is a Malach. And Aaron succeeded in this role, and therefore Ezra, when it says here Malachi, we're dealing with someone that fits that role. Who in this generation was the teacher? Was the teacher for Klal Yisrael, who fulfilled Chazal's standard of Imdoy Merabcha LeMalach Hashem Tzivakos. Just like Aaron fulfilled that role, Ezra. So you don't need to come on to Gilgal. Gilgal is a dangerous word. You just have to say people who fill that role. In the generation of the Torah, Aaron was a Malach. He wasn't an angel. He fulfilled the role of being the quintessential teacher as in Dom Rabcha LeMalach Hashem Tzivakos. In this generation, who is the teacher? Ezra was the teacher. Ezra HaSofer. Sofer means he was the Talmud, he was the scribe, the Talmud Chacham. He was the Melamed. Oh, Melamed, you're a teacher. Have you fulfilled the standards of the Torah in Dom Rabcha LeMalach Hashem Tzevakos? Well, Ezra did. He did meet that standard. Excellent. So we're going to call you a Malach. And therefore, Ma'asod V'ashem al-Yishol B'biyat Malachi. He met the standard. He is called a Malach. Oh, but we said, but Radak didn't like this because Radak says Sofer and Malach don't go together. But obviously, over here, the Chida didn't like this.
Which is the same
in my
as Malach.
Malach is 91.
Yeah.
Interesting. Next. Nire Aleihem. This is in the Torah. Nire is the letters of Aaron. Aleihem is the same letters as Michael. So these two people achieved.
No.
Nire is Aaron.
Yeah.
And Aleihem,
yeah.
Aleichem.
Yeah.
Aleichem rearranged is Michael.
Right.
So there are two people who are cousins, who achieve the same mission. In their generation, their respective generation. Aaron in his generation, Michal in his generation. Okay, we'll stop here, Mirshem. Next week, we're going to go to Pasuk Beis. We will now take a short break. We'll learn some Chumash in a few moments.
Good afternoon, everybody. You have a minute.